Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great to have David Noble in the house here every Thursday with us on Montana Talks. Unless he gets busy, or, you know, sometimes he'll join us on a Wednesday if he can't be here on a Thursday. Always great to have your insight, David. What a week, man. What a week. Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. I came in like a wrecking ball. Nobody saw that one coming, huh?
Nobody did. I even was saying, man, that one even surprised me, and I haven't really been surprised by a lot of these. Of course, I tweeted out, should we be doing the Trump W of the Week? I think that's the Trump win of the week right there, is nominating Matt Gaetz. That is just a true shocker, and boy, is it a... And the way he did it, too, the way he, like... So he shows up in Washington, he meets with Biden, he goes and speaks to the House Republican conference, and then he leaves Washington, D.C., and 2 hours later drops a nuke on D.C., nominating Matt Gaetz as AG. I saw Chris Eliza tweeting out, hey, I think Donald Trump nominated Matt Gaetz as an early loyalty test of the senators, because because now's the chance. Like, okay, if you're a senator and you vote for Matt Gaetz for AG, I mean, at that point,
you
like,
vote for anything. I was thinking the same thing, too. I was like, wow, this is like the ultimate. All right. This is how you find out who your friends really are. But I also think it's about even way more than that. And I think you and I agree that, like, no, like, he needs to go take a wrecking ball to the Department of Injustice. And, you know, the fact that all of these people are freaking out over, because I thought, you and I were talking about this, I thought that Matt Whitaker, who was the acting AG at the tail end of the Trump administration, the first go around, we've had him here in Montana. Great guy, rock solid. He'd be a rock solid AG as well. Very professional. He was at the Trump rally in Bozeman. I thought that would be the easy, likely pick. But like, the more I think of it, whether you like Matt Gaetz or not, that freaking Department of Injustice needs a wrecking ball right now. They need a reckoning inside there of this lawfare directed against the American people, not just what was done to Trump, but was done to the American people.
Yeah, right before we started, I was saying, hey, jokingly, I was like, hey, I don't even support Matt Gaetz for the position until I heard that the DOJ bureaucrats in D.C. were all lighting their hair on fire. And now it's like, oh, no, this is great. No, but I think you're right, though. It's deeper than that. This is a pick that's a substantive pick, and I think it's substantive in the sense that Matt Gaetz has always been one of the strongest in terms of going after weaponization of the DOJ. By the way, you know what? I saw a tweet that said, "Hey, if you voted for Merrick Garland for AG, then you dang well better vote for Matt Gaetz." And I was so proud to see Senator Daines, one of only 30 U.S. senators that actually voted against Merrick Garland as AG. I didn't realize he was seven. He was Merrick Garland, the corrupt sitting AG, confirmed 70-30. Shout out to Senator Daines for being one of the 30.
For voting against him. Good point. Mike Benz had a great tweet. Great news. No one is allowed to criticize Matt Gaetz for the next 4 years, or else they're attacking democracy. I mean, Merrick Garland said, if you attack me, you're attacking democracy.
Right.
So, you can't criticize any attorney general.
Well, and
Matt Gaetz.
And who can we not criticize unless you're criticizing science?
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Congress is back in session now after the election. Lawmakers haven't met in earnest since late September, and frankly, Congress has barely been here since June. But that's about to change as it enters the lame duck Congress before the new Congress starts in January. There are lots of items lawmakers must address before noon on January 3rd, the start of the new Congress. Here's what they need to do. A bill to fund the government is due by December 20th. Also outstanding, a farm bill, the annual defense policy bill. There's a chance lawmakers could push for more assistance for Israel and Ukraine. Disaster relief is also front and center. FEMA's immediate needs coffers are dwindling after hurricanes Milton and Helene. Plus, lawmakers must likely approve an additional disaster aid package now that the price tags of both of those storms are rolling in. And the storms long ago bled dry the Small Business Administration's disaster loan program. Small businesses with impacts from the storms could apply for loans, but the SBA was out of money and couldn't send help. So Congress needs to reload that program, too. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny skies across the area for today. High temperature readings will range from around 50 in Bozeman to about 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the mid to upper 20s, and then on Friday, we'll see increasing clouds with chances for snow showers or mixed precip into Bozeman later in the day. Highs push up in the 40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
All right, I got to brag on our friend Evan Wilson one more time here. He's the guy I call the Montana numbers man. He predicted that by election day, 498,000 absentee ballots would eventually be cast right here in Montana. How does somebody go about making a prediction like that? Guess how close he came? Within 3,000 ballots. The full story and much more, go to MontanaTalks.com. The guy's a beast.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, David, we should have recorded that whole three-minute conversation you and I just had there, but that's all right. I kind of pushed back on the mob on our own side for just a moment here at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. All these people who are like, oh, I can't believe these senators didn't tell us who they voted for in the leadership elections. It's like, guys, they didn't do it in Helena either, and you're not screaming about that. So it's like, if you want no secret votes for leadership elections, well, don't just scream about it when it's Thune. You should scream about it when it's in Helena too. And so it's just like, and not only that, but it's like, okay, so are you guys going to spend the next 4 years, you know, bickering and complaining and fighting your fellow Republicans, or are you going to unite and get in the fight and support the America First agenda? Now, if Thune and these guys don't deliver, yeah, we'll hold them accountable. But to just sit here and kick and scream for the next 4 years because one inside baseball vote didn't go your direction, it's like, come on, guys. Anyway, that's just my take. It's just like, okay, let's keep our eye on the ball here, people.
I mean, my view of it is Senator Thune is simply a reflection of the current GOP caucus. He was a high-level lieutenant for McConnell, you know, for a long time. And so you're seeing some change within the Senate GOP caucus, but that obviously takes a very, very long time. And I think conservatives ought to lock in and start focusing on getting very solid conservatives into the Senate GOP positions, and that's how you get it. I wanted to make one other point about how a lot of Democrats seem to be criticizing Donald Trump for placing loyalty above everything else. And of course, a lot of Democrats will admit, you know, every president, you know, values loyalty. But then they seem to say Trump values it too much. And I saw actually, I can't remember who said this. I didn't think of this, but I want to repeat it because it's such a good point, which is Donald Trump had his own government after the 2016 election. When Donald Trump was the elected president of the United States, he had his own government, his own people, his own bureaucrats undermining him, attacking him, filing false, frivolous allegations against him, investigations against him, everything else. And guess what? Now here we are. In 2024, and the American people just overwhelmingly elected Donald Trump as president, and so he deserves loyalty. It makes perfect rational sense when he had so many false, fraudulent claims against him and investigations. He does need, and we were talking about how loyalty to Donald Trump right now is loyalty to the American people, right? Because the American people put him there.
That's right. It's like if these nominees are not loyal to President Donald Trump, then they're not being loyal to the American people, because the American people didn't vote for any of these other candidates. Like they didn't. And Pete Hegseth, I think, is a great nominee for Secretary of Defense. Did you see the guy when he went swimming with the Navy SEALs in the Hudson River? This is the Secretary of Defense who can go do PT, physical training, with the troops. I mean, I love seeing one of our younger Iraq, Afghanistan veterans being nominated to a post like that, and somebody who's going to root out the woke BS that has been harming our military. And so, But that being said, like, the American people didn't vote for Pete Hegseth. They didn't vote for Matt Gaetz. They didn't vote for Stephen. They voted for Donald J. Trump. And so loyalty to Donald J. Trump is loyalty to the American people. You'll hear people say this sometimes. Well, that congressman or that state office holder, they're hard to work for. Well, they should be hard to work for because they got elected to do the work for us, the people of Montana and the American people. And we demand them to get some work done for us. So if they're not a little bit hard to work for, then they're not pushing you hard enough to get the job done for the American people. Anyway, rant over on that one, too, right?
No, I think that's exactly right. You know, you made a really interesting point there, too, about how Pete Hegseth is young. Lots of these Trump appointees are very, very... J.D. Vance is like 40 or 41 or 42.
I don't even think he's 40 yet.
Or he's 39, yeah. Tulsi's, you know, 40, 41, 42. Pete Hegseth is a younger guy. You know, Matt Gaetz, a younger guy. So really, it looks like Donald Trump is being pretty intentional with really filling out his administration with 30 and 40 year olds so that when Donald Trump walks off, you know, stage left here after two more terms, after we amend the Constitution to specifically name Donald J. Trump as the one individual that can serve three terms, and then he serves three terms, he leaves in 8 years, you know, he's got a whole big crew of people coming up behind him.
Yeah, that's right. Some of our younger listeners would say, guys, 40 isn't young. And I'm like, no, it is. Don't worry. You'll realize it when you get there. You'll feel old, but it's really not old. Let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, what's going on?
All these pups, he's bringing up tea. No, one of the things that drew me to Donald Trump was when you have everybody in the world that's adversarial to your point of view and what you want to have done aligning against one person and focusing on that one person, you know that's the person. So when Matt Gaetz has some Republicans, all the media and all the Democrats just, you know, lighting their hair on fire because he's been nominated as the head of the DOJ, you know he's the right guy. And I think it's a masterstroke by Trump, because if he doesn't get confirmed, if we get squishy senators and we get squishy House members, guess what? Ron DeSantis can turn around and fill Marco Rubio's Senate seat with Matt Gaetz. And then you've got him right back in a power position where he needs to be. And you have to look at the guy every stinking day.
Oh, man. You just gave the ultimate hostage negotiation. Well, put him over there or else we put him in your backyard. That's hilarious. That reminds me of what John Jackson will say. He'll use his grindhouse jiu-jitsu gym analogy to say, hey, if you're pressing somewhere, if you've got a certain move in place and they scream the loudest, keep pressing. Keep pressing right there.
Do the Democrats know that they're just signaling to us to, like, keep doing it when they start freaking out like that?
All right.
We're all acting the same way. We're all like, oh, the Democrats are mad? Great.
This is House Call for Health. The medical and technological worlds often go hand in hand, with new devices providing breakthroughs in healthcare that researchers hope will improve people's lives. Now, engineers at the University of Hawaii are revealing more about how their tiny robots can revolutionize future treatments in big ways. Researchers hope they'll open doors for more minimally invasive treatments in the future. The bots are made of a mesh structure, allowing them to morph as they wind through the body's vessels. Unlike some other surgical tools which have cords, doctors will be able to direct these robots around the body externally using magnetic fields. Once the robots are at their desired locations inside a patient, doctors also hope this could result in helping patients who might need to travel a long distance for treatment, instead allowing a doctor to remotely control a robot to help with a medical issue. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mainly sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will range from around 50 in Bozeman to about 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the mid to upper 20s. And then on Friday, we'll see increasing clouds with chances for snow, showers, or mixed precipitation to Bozeman later in the day. Highs push up in the 40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, did you guys see this big flash of light in the sky over Montana? It literally went from pitch black to clear as daylight. The National Weather Service office in Great Falls said the lightning mapper caught it. It was a meteorite. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. It was so great to be able to share that news as it broke with you live on the radio on Wednesday's Montana Talks. And we got great phone calls from the Speaker-elect and the President-elect. We're taking your calls and more with Thursday's Montana Talks. Brett.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
With Senate Republicans choosing South Dakota Senator John Thune as majority leader yesterday, Thune's leadership is expected to significantly shape the legislative agenda, particularly for agriculture. Thune is a longtime member of the Senate Agriculture Committee and played a key role in crafting several farm bills and other pieces of legislation standing up for farmers and ranchers across the West. Groups like the Montana Grain Growers, along with the Montana Stock Growers Association, say they look forward to working with the new majority leader to pass legislation important to rural America and Montana's number one industry. Raylee Honeycutt is Executive Vice President of the Montana Stock Growers.
It ties back to producer profitability. He has been a huge advocate when it comes to the death tax and things like that, and really looking out for small businesses and ranchers across the West. And so I think there will be a lot of opportunities to engage with him on some of the topics that are top of mind for us as he moves into leadership.
Agriculture advocates say that Senator Thune is well positioned to ensure the voices of rural America are heard with policies that prioritize agricultural advancement and economic growth. Many have criticized Thune's position, but are saying they are hopeful that the Republican Party can work together to pass meaningful legislation in the years ahead. I'm Lane Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is funny. So David Lucas says, stop defending Danes and the rhinos when they are not loyal to us. Aaron, you will go to any length to defend Steve Daines. Look, Lucas, Steve Daines just won back the Republican Senate majority. If it was up to some of these people out there, we would be having Chuck Schumer as the Senate majority leader still. And so now I've criticized some votes by Senator Daines in the past, and I'm not afraid to stand up to the mob even on our own side. But what I'm saying here is that there are some conservatives out there, there are some Republicans out there that will waste the next 2 to 4 years fighting their fellow Republicans instead of uniting behind the America First Trump agenda and getting our agenda across the finish line. I mean, think about it. Now I'm going to get a rant going here, David, but think about this. How much money and effort was spent on some of these Republican primaries here in Montana that maybe those people that were taking on some of our statewide elected officials, what if they had instead campaigned in support of these judicial nominees to run for the Montana Supreme Court? What if they had started some sort of a political action committee to win back Supreme Court seats here in Montana? Or what if they put more money and effort into defeating CI 128? But instead, how many Republicans spent more time fighting other Republicans in what was a lost cause? That's my point here.
I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of infighting in the GOP going forward. I really don't.
I think Trump's just bringing it to a halt. Yeah.
It's just because, and even if you don't like John Thune or whatever, John Thune has come out and said, hey, I fully support Trump. I'm going to allow recess appointments. We're going to pass Trump's agenda. And I really don't see a lot of Republicans. I mean, that's what's so interesting about this transition in this Trump term compared to 2016-2017. In 2016-2017, there was still a very strong never Trumper wing in the GOP. There was all these fake investigations. You had people in the GOP still, like the Liz Cheney's and and the anti-Trump wing. All of those people are gone. Everybody supports Trump now. So I really hope we do not see a whole lot of infighting in the GOP.
Yeah, in fact, here's what Thune had to say yesterday. And I even said it on this show. For those of you that were listening, look, I would have rather seen somebody like a Rick Scott than a Thune or a Cornyn. But frankly, as a Montanan, I would rather have a Montanan as the Senate Majority Leader. Donald J. Trump himself said he wanted Steve Daines to run for Senate Majority Leader. Now, that didn't happen, but as a Montanan, I would rather have Montana have that kind of seat of power. But here's the deal, and I forget who it was, if it was Charlie Kirk. I think it was Charlie Kirk. I shared a tweet from Charlie Kirk where Charlie Kirk made a great point that, like, hey, now's the time. If these guys don't, these guys are pledging, and even Thune is pledging, that they want to deliver Trump's America First agenda. If they don't deliver, and if they stand in the way, then yes, we will hold them accountable. Here's what Thune had to say. Hannity had this last night.
It's a new day in the United States Senate, and it's a new day in America. The American people have loudly rejected the failed policies of the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda. And this Republican team is united. We are on one team. We are excited to reclaim the majority and to get to work with our colleagues in the House to enact President Trump's agenda. We have a mandate from the American people, a mandate not only to clean up the mess left by the Biden-Harris-Schumer agenda, but also to deliver on President Trump's priorities.
Time is short. There's a lot of work to be done, but now is the time for Republicans to work together and get Donald Trump's agenda across the finish line.
And if they don't, yes, we will hold them accountable. Yeah, that's the point here. David, anything else to add on that front?
So I was thinking about what should I do for the woke update, because I do think that John Jackson was right that we should do the woke update of the week. And when I tweeted
and the Trump win of the week.
When I tweeted that out, and I admitted when I tweeted it out, I was like, as naive as it may be, I kind of feel like we beat wokeism. So do we really need to do this? And then. I started seeing the Democrats coming out, and they're out there being asked by the mainstream media, hey, are you guys going to back off like the radical trans ideology and stuff like that? And you guys just got destroyed in this election. Like, are you guys, and people like Bernie Sanders and AOC and all these other Democrats, no, we will never stop fighting for trans rights and trans rights are human. All these
Zoe Zephyr is ready to rock and roll in Helena and lead the Democrats into further denial and, right.
But then you made the comment, you know, what's going to be interesting is how many times is the Trump win of the week and the woke update of the week going to be real similar? Here's one example that's the same thing. You know, Matt Gaetz being nominated AG, Trump win of the week. Chris Murphy, Democrat senator, puts democracy on red alert over the Matt Gaetz nomination, claiming that he will implement Trump's transition of the DOJ from a good agency into an arm of the White House.
I've got a great woke update of the week as well. University of Wyoming volleyball players join a loss. Bozeman on the phone lines. It's great to get your app messages, but even better to get your phone calls. Lucas, stand by. We'll get to you, but Tom in Billings has been, I think, patiently waiting. Tom, what's on your mind? Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, I did. Good morning, Aaron and David. I just wanted to reiterate something as a federal law to the last caller. 8 U.S. Code 1325 was actually revised on August 23rd of 2021. That's the federal law for immigration.
So the caller in the 6 o'clock hour, the caller in the 6 o'clock hour was saying, I want a state law against the illegal aliens that are in our state. So yeah, we get it about the federal law, but he's talking about state law.
Federal law overrides state law, and that keeps the Montana Supreme Court out of it.
But that's what the caller's point was, you know, everybody's been wanting our state law enforcement to deport the illegal aliens, so he was saying, well, let's get a law on the books that allows them to do so, but the courts have said that the feds have the power here, so they blocked some of the states from going forward with that. Now, the point that I made was, hey, yes, now we have a federal government coming in under a Donald Trump that will start deporting these illegal aliens. But if liberal cities like Bozeman and Missoula try to stand in the way of the deportation plan, then the state of Montana, I'd like to see some teeth behind some new laws that will hold these cities accountable if they try to stand in Trump's way. Anyway, your thoughts, David Noble.
I fully support that and everything you just said, but what I recently found, which was super interesting, is there is already on the books a Montana statute that makes it a crime for employers to hire illegal aliens or to hire them as independent contractors. They don't have to just be W-2 employees. But it is already an existing Montana crime for anybody to hire or contract with illegal aliens. And that's actually been upheld. And I think the caller's right that, generally speaking, the Supreme Court has held immigration laws are national. But the Supreme Court has upheld certain state laws on immigration. You've seen it in some of the Arizona recent cases and stuff. But it's specifically in this one, these types of statutes, my understanding is, and don't quote me on this, but I believe those have been upheld by the Supreme Court as not necessarily an immigration regulation, but more of an employment regulation and a contract regulation and in sort of a workplace regulation by the state. And why don't we as a state start seriously enforcing that law and going after all of these companies here in Billings, all across the state? We've got companies and businesses and corporations that are hiring, knowingly hiring illegal aliens, and they're not getting prosecuted.
With a new Trump administration coming in, the state should be able to do that, right? Because if they tried to do it right now, the Biden administration would say, no.
That's a good point.
But with Trump coming in now, they should have the ability to actually do that. But that's an issue, by the way, that even some of our Democrat callers have raised. So great point. All right, Lucas and Bozeman, we'll start with you right after this.
Sure.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to get your messages on the Montana Talks app. Even better to get your phone calls. Lucas, thanks for calling in from Bozeman. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, David. Hey, for the record, Aaron, I agree with you 99% of the time. I really do. I know I give you guys a lot of flack on social media and through the emails, and I give Danes a hard time. I voted for him 2 times. I'm really upset with him always stabbing us in the back. He voted yes on every Ukraine spending bill. And I get it. Okay, we got Thune in now. Let's deal with it. Hopefully they perform. But are they going to? Because we did the same thing with McCarthy in the House. We did the same thing with Speaker Johnson. They're both horrible speakers of House. And they backstab us.
So why did Donald Trump just endorse Speaker Johnson then? Wait, you know, if he's a horrible Speaker of the House, why is Donald Trump? And this is always my question.
That's a good question.
For folks who always call themselves MAGA, and if you disagree with Donald Trump once, they want to write you out of the book of MAGA. But Donald Trump supports Speaker Johnson, so why wouldn't everybody who wants their name written in the book of MAGA support Speaker Johnson, right? You know what I'm saying?
I don't agree with Trump 100% of the time either, and I question a lot of his endorsements. A lot of his voters do question his endorsements. I mean, he filled his first administration with swamp creatures, but give him the benefit of the doubt. He was new. He didn't know who he could trust. But anyway, Danes has failed us over and over. He sent billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine while his voters complained about it and while his voters barely got by in Montana. And I just don't trust him in the future. I hope he decides to work well with Trump. I want to think he will. Don't trust Thune. And I think we need to just hold Danes accountable. I'm not trying to just hate them and...
No, I hear you coming from. Yeah, I haven't liked all the Ukraine spending. I've openly criticized all this money going to all these other countries. Hey, what's your handle on X, by the way, so we know who we're chatting with? You mentioned hitting both of us up on X. Can you give your username on X so we know who we're talking to?
I don't even know it off the top of my head. It's like...
It's my initials, and I'll hit you up on X today.
Shoot us a note right now, and I'll try to check my notifications here in a timely fashion. Well, no, great to hear from you, Lucas. No, this is my thing, and I appreciate the phone call because, yeah, great to get your messages, but even better to hear it in your own voice. David, this is kind of my thing is, like, I totally agree with him. Like, look, there's been some votes that none of us like too much spending overseas. Although, yeah, I think you were more defensive of the Ukraine spending in particular.
The only reason I am, Aaron, is because our federal government is wasting $7 trillion, and we're crying about $1 billion to Ukraine. When you're spending wasting $7 trillion on illegal, unconstitutional spending, $1 billion to Ukraine is literally a drop in the ocean. I mean, if people can't wrap their heads around the difference between $1 billion and $1 trillion, it's significant, and $1 billion out of $7 trillion is nothing.
Well, I share Lucas's concern about all this money going to all these other countries. I've said that on the show before, but I've also said that I think if we get the Republican Senate back, like Senator Steve Daines delivered on, by the way, like, we may not like all of his votes, but none of us agree with everybody. You and I don't agree on everything. John Jackson and I don't agree on everything. So that's good to have disagreement, right? But at the end of the day, like, Donald Trump coming into the White House, that's going to fundamentally change this whole dynamic. The biggest challenge, I think, for these senators was these last couple of years. What do you do? Whether you agree with the Ukraine spending or not, what do you do until Donald Trump comes back into power to get everything back on track? What do you do in the meantime, right? And so I understand the challenge facing some of these Republican senators who didn't want to just totally leave Ukraine flapping in the wind in the midst of this invasion that never would have happened if Donald J. Trump was the president in the first place.
I mean, honestly, nobody agrees with everybody 100%. And so, like, I support Daines and like Daines and stuff, but the votes that he's taken that give me issue is not the votes for the Ukraine spending. It's the votes for all of the omnibus packages and the CRs and things like that. And so, I mean, if you're a real conservative and you really care about federal government spending, you wouldn't be focusing on $1 billion to Ukraine. You'd be focusing on $7 trillion omnibus and CR packages, because that's what's causing the inflation. That's what's blowing out our budget. But by the way, can I just say this to Lucas and Bozeman? That's fantastic that you're out there pushing our Republicans further to the right. And now's the time to do it, right, Aaron? Right after the election, isn't it? Now's the time go out there and say, hey, we want our Republican elected officials, whether it's Senator Daines, whether it's Senator Sheehy, whether it's Representative Downing, Representative Zinke, we want them to move further to the right. They're not up for election right now. Tactically, now's a good time to try to push them to the right. I think that's great to have people like Lucas trying to push our people to the right.
On policy and on issues. But, you know, when I see people saying, oh, Steve Daines needs to be primaried 2 years from now just because of a leadership inside baseball vote that was going to go Thune's direction no matter which way you cut it anyway. By the way, interesting side note, I think I read somewhere that Tim Sheehy may not have voted for John Thune, that he may have voted for somebody else, that he may have voted for Rick Scott. But again, but my point is, these people that just simply want to divide conservatives and Republicans just for division's sake, all they're doing is, like, when they're talking about primarying Steve Daines already right now, like, ask Tanner Smith how that worked out in the governor's race, right? Like, you're just being, you know, you're just being used by the liberal media and the Democrats to try to undermine Republican unity, which will only hurt the ability to get Donald Trump's agenda across the finish line. Because we've still got, unfortunately, we've got these Murkowskis of the world to deal with. And so hopefully and this is what we'll see, that Thune can try to keep Murkowski in line here if it can be done. David, this is to your point about Matt Gaetz now resigning his seat in Congress. And then, it was Tim in Billings who said, hey, DeSantis could make him a senator if they don't make him attorney general. A friend of mine, a listener in Frenchtown, Christine, she says this: Hannity had Lara Trump on last night, and she said she would be honored and would love to serve as a U.S. Senator of Florida in Rubio's place if DeSantis nominates her. How cool would that be to have a Trump in the Senate?
That would be great. I wonder if DeSantis is willing to do that. That would be my question. I don't know if he is.
Yeah, I would hope so, because I still see Ron DeSantis as a huge player on the national scene down the road.
Oh, and he was a big Trump supporter and everything else, too, on that front.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know why he jumped into the presidential race when he did. But yeah, he still came around and still supported Donald J. Trump at the end of the day anyway. Oh, woke update of the week. So I have a candidate for woke update of the week here. Three University of Wyoming volleyball players are part of a bombshell lawsuit over a transgender player. Fox News, that was from the Cowboy State Daily down in Wyoming, but Fox News Radio has this as well.
11 female volleyball players and a coach are suing the Mountain West Conference and commissioner for allowing a transgender athlete to play on the San Jose State volleyball team. Those suing allege the conference's new transgender participation policy is an attempt to chill and suppress the free speech rights of women athletes. Five teams have forfeited games this season in protest of competing against the biological male player.
All right, there you go. So that's a good news woke update, because it shows how these young women are standing up and they're speaking out, and it's because of Riley Gaines and heroes like Lily Mester at the University of Montana who are speaking out themselves and leading other women, young women, to speak up.
Love it, and especially love it going with the lawsuit. I've been talking for years now on Montana Talks about how conservatives have to assert our rights in court. The Democrats have been doing it for a long time, and you know, conservatives, Republicans have recently started picking up on Democrat tactics like ballot harvesting and everything else. So why can't aggressive litigation, policy-based, you know, public interest-based litigation be one of our tools? And frankly, I think you're going to see more of this type of stuff. You've seen lawsuits in Montana where conservatives have been discriminated against, where people's free speech rights are being violated, when people are being discriminated against based on their religion, things like that. Folks, if you are out there and you are being mistreated by a corporation, by the government, whoever it might be, based on your religious beliefs or political beliefs, or the government trying to suppress your free speech, or things like this with these volleyball players, folks got to think about filing lawsuits, because that's why we have a court system.
And by the way, and you know, good lawyers to call, like David Noble and others in the House.
No, don't do that. We can't just talk about. I'm here just as an individual.
Okay, all right. Well, that was me, not you. That was me, not you. By the way, this was really cool. We had a couple listeners dropped by the Rock and R last Wednesday for our Election Day show, and they said, David Noble's my lawyer. He's awesome. Anyway, so that was cool. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
That's all right. Hey, no, I'll just say this to make it clear so that people know. I am a lawyer, and I've got clients, and I'm a partner to law, but I am here in my personal capacity as an individual on my own personal free time, giving my own personal opinions. I'm speaking for nobody but myself here.
See, and I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a caveman. I don't know all these crazy lawyer games. We had somebody ask a legal question yesterday, and I was like, where is David Noble? Because, I'm just a caveman. I'm not a lawyer.
In the time it takes us to say we're using Folgers instant coffee, seamlessly blended with water and ice, a splash of whatever kind of milk is your thing, and gotta get that caramel drizzle. All to make a toasty, roasty, caramel iced coffee. You could be enjoying it every damn sip of it. Damn right, it's Folgers Instant.
Fox News commentary.
Disgruntled Kamala fans are trying desperately to find her a new job. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
5 days a week, it's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Including the pre-Super Bowl era, what NFL franchise has won the most NFL championships?
I'm going to say the Cowboys.
Good guess. I always say the Packers.
How'd you do exactly? Things get tougher, so hang on.
Make sure you take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox. Thank you for taking the quiz.
Need I remind the left, Kamala not only lost this presidential election, she did it without receiving a single primary vote in 2024. In her first attempt at running in 2020, she didn't make it past 2019. Democrat voters and the majority of American voters do not want Kamala. But still, members of her fan club won't let it go and are throwing out all kinds of different options. Some are imploring Joe Biden to step aside in his remaining months and give the presidency to Kamala, as if they haven't thrown Joe under the bus enough as it is. But others are begging Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor power to resign and allow Joe Biden to appoint Kamala to the bench. Democrats are terrified President Donald Trump will have the opportunity to fill her spot in the next 4 years, bringing his appointment total to a whopping 4 justices. You know what? That might happen. And while the left might cry over it, they ought to know by now that elections have consequences. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Buying a vehicle at a dealership can be a stressful process, from the time commitment involved to the pressure of haggling with salespeople, not to mention test driving lots of vehicles. But there are some ways to make the process easier for you and your wallet. Be sure to call ahead to the dealership to see if the models you want to try are available. Showrooms have cut back on the number of vehicles they keep on the lot, meaning fewer options for test drives. And check price guides like Kelley Blue Book to get a sense of the range of prices for the car you desire. For trade-ins, you can visit cars.com along with Kelley Blue Book to find out how much your vehicle is currently worth. And to assist with negotiations, experts say it would be wise to run your vehicle through multiple trade-in offers. In addition to knowing car values and a fair going price, you should know your credit score and loan offers, so you know what kind of rates and terms you might be eligible for. Saving you money.
Growing strong, this is your co-op.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Oh, I got a really funny message on the Montana Talks app here, but I got a lot of good messages that came in here. Jake in Billings says, you know, he's supported, he likes all of these Trump nominees so far, but really does not like the Matt Gaetz one. I lost the initial message from Jake in Billings here, but Jake in Billings sent us a message that says he will never be confirmed when it comes to Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. Now, a recess appointment, though. Could a recess appointment happen? That's an option out there. Tim in Savage says, holy crap, I am tired already of folks claiming to be more Republican than others and bashing choices before we even get Donald J. Trump sworn in. These purity tests are ludicrous. Nancy in Roundup had a great email yesterday. Just heard news that Matt Gaetz will be Attorney General. Yes, the nuclear FU guy. So, David Noble, Matt Gaetz will end woke. And Tulsi Gabbard as Director of Intelligence. I am more and more astonished as Trump's cabinet grows. But here's the funny message. Andy in Whitefish says, how about a wellness check on Ken and Great Falls? I haven't heard from Ken and Great Falls since the election.
Well, that's
results,
so nice.
But,
that's so nice of your listeners to
check
be
on your neighbors,
checking in on them. Yeah,
I was worried that flash of light yesterday had just beamed him up into the sky. That flash of light over Western Montana.
By the way, I'll go on the record. I think Matt Gaetz will be confirmed by the United States Senate to be the United States Attorney General. And by the way, I also went on the record predicting the 2024 election results. And on Monday before the election at 11 a.m., I tweeted out a road to 270 map that perfectly predicted the 2024 presidential election, all the way down to the one electoral vote for Trump in Maine, one electoral vote for Kamala in Nebraska, and every other state, 312 electoral votes for Donald Trump. I predicted the 2024 presidential result perfectly. Nailed
really?
It 100% exactly.
That was the Monday before the election?
The Monday before the election.
Nice. Very cool. So you were predicting that he would get Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania.
A full sweep, and Nevada, Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia, a full sweep of all seven swing states.
I think Greg Franks came in and popped in that Tuesday morning when John Jackson was sitting here with us, and he said, yeah, I think this is going to be big. It's going to be big like did he say Reagan Bush 84 or Reagan 1980? And this is – it was a huge, big red wave. And I fully believe – I think you and I had the conversation after the 2022 midterms. Why did that red wave – turn into a trickle? And I said it back then. Some people were saying, well, it's because of abortion and the women, you know, were mad about Roe v. Wade being overturned. And I said, no, Donald Trump was not on the ballot. And And so that so Donald Trump was on the ballot. That's what brought his people out to the polls. So the question for conservatives is, how do you show your people, Trump's people, that you're the fighter that he is? So 4 years from now, when he's not on the ballot ever again, his people still show up for you.
Amen. One other comment here before we go. Can I just say I am so, so happy to see South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem nominated to be Secretary of the United States Department of Homeland Security, because I was one of the only people out there defending Kristi Noem when all of the fake outrage about her, when she had to put down a bad, vicious dog that was biting humans and killing animals, and she shot that dog like any dog owner that owns a dog that's biting humans ought to do, ought to shoot that dog. And you got all these people on Twitter, oh, Kristi Noem's career is over. She's so terrible. I can't. And then guess what, folks? She is going to be our new Secretary of DHS.
Well, all these people who were mad at Kristi Noem for killing her dog, they kill their pets. They just take their pet down to the animal shelter or wherever it's done in town. But if you don't live in a city, what do you do? And that's why all these people who live in cities who have no clue about rural America were clutching their pearls. And it's like, yeah, but if you... but. And these people kill their own pets. They just take them to the animal shelter.
And they kill babies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but see, animals matter more than people.
Right,
according
just
to
like
a
turtle egg. You can't touch a turtle egg.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. All right, David Noble, great to see you.
Military Matters.
Former Air National Guardsman Jack Teixeira was sentenced to 15 years in federal prison on Tuesday for leaking classified military information to online chat rooms. The leaked documents covered sensitive topics including Russia's war in Ukraine, troop movements, and Western weapons delivery timelines. Between 2022 and 2023, Teixeira, a 22-year-old cyber transport systems specialist, shared dozens of classified documents with over 150 million people on Discord, acknowledging he was behind the year-long distribution of classified documents. Here's Joshua Levy, acting U.S. Attorney for the District of Massachusetts, who oversaw the case.
Jack Teixeira abused his position of trust, and he exploited his top secret clearance to access hundreds of classified top secret information and then share them on Discord, a social media gaming platform that reaches over 150 million people across the globe.
For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.